Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy, I'm Mike, he's Bobby, this is the Laptop Empires Podcast, and we are on to episode 72. And today we're talking about how to go from a one-man show to a team, which I know a lot of y'all have been asking about. We've got a pretty big team that we work with here at Laptop Empires. I know, Bobby, your team. Did you have anybody working with you last year? Like to start 2018?
Yeah, I hired Mel in December.
Okay.
So it was I had this feeling. I was like, I think things are going to get kind of crazy and I need at least a little bit of help. And so I brought her on in 2018, December, and then January happened and here we are.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I felt like it was one of those things where I felt like I'd been along for most of the ride of you like growing a team. And so that makes sense if you brought her on in December. So yeah. So if you look back, you know, for me, going back to 2017 is when that was the year I was really focusing on building my team. I can't remember exactly when I hired Alex, the first guy I hired. It was either end of 2016 or very early 2017. And then by the end of 2017, I had four or five people, you know, that were working on the team. And then when you get into 2018 and us working together, you know, obviously things grew really fast and the Laptop Empires team grew really quickly with the courses and bringing on the experts and everything. So we're big believers in building teams. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that don't like it. You know, I can think of like other entrepreneurs were like, I tried to scale and build a team and I hated it. I didn't like managing people. I didn't like all this and that. But I think for us, like, I don't want to speak for you, but I know I love it. Like, right. I can't imagine doing it any other way.
No, I enjoyed it a lot too, because I did the solopreneur thing for 3 years. And I mean, it's cool at first, you know, honestly, like, because when I was a band director, like, sometimes having to work with other people got kind of stressful and, you know,
right.
I really liked just doing my own thing. You know, that's why I became an entrepreneur. But I think after like two to three years in, it was like, okay, it's just me alone with my computer every day. sounds sad. It's like just me alone with my computer every day, like at home, you know, or in a coffee shop. And that kind of social interaction, I think is a big deal. And removing yourself from that, especially in this online business world, like I have so many friends that talk about it all the time where you just get lonely after a little bit of just working with, right. You know, by yourself. It's like, it's just you and your thoughts. And so when I started hiring people, that changed a lot. Obviously us working together changed a lot of that because we talk every day. But now, you know, I don't even know how many people work with or for me, but there's a lot with Laptop Empires and I'm actually hiring another person this week. So it's been cool. I've enjoyed it. It's fun. I like paying people. That's kind of one of my favorite things is like being able to create jobs and that kind of thing. So it's been a good experience so far.
Yeah. And so today we're not really going to talk about like how to hire anybody or how to bring somebody on or find the right person or anything like that. We're more going to talk about like, how do you make that jump from solopreneur to having somebody or somebodies on your team. So when you do hire somebody, because honestly, like even if you are a solopreneur and you want to keep things small and you do most of the work, it's a really good idea to bring on some sort of virtual assistant, you know, and there's tons of options, you know, for what you can do, but just having one person on your team that can help you, even if it's part-time, can be massive because there's a lot of different things that you do that maybe somebody else can do to free up your time to focus on, you know, the high level stuff that only you can do, the strategic thinking, the, you know, all of those kind of things. And then if you want to grow your business, you can't always be working in your business. You got to start working on your business at some point. And so, you know, with working in your business would be things like client delivery, content creation. If you're, depending on if you're a service provider, or a content creator, like that's working in your business. That's producing your product or the thing that you sell. But building your business, the client acquisition, the building your traffic sources, building your funnels, like growing your email list, the strategy of the growth. It's very hard to find time for those things when you're doing the things that you just use to keep the engine running. And so I think a good example of this for you, Bobby, was just after writing your content, having somebody else publish it on the blog, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's that.
That's probably saved me. I don't know how many hours I spend doing that, but at least 3 hours a week, but probably way more.
Probably closer to six plus, I would think.
Yeah, I never try. I wish I had tracked that, but that was a game changer. There's just been all these things that I've offloaded to other people that I thought I was the only one that could do it, and that turned out to totally not be true. So,
right.
You know, I've learned that you can really, if you give people enough direction and you're more organized, because that was always something I struggled with. I'm not like a super like naturally organized person. So that's been a little tough for me. But like once you kind of create some systems and you really train people well, like they can just go do things for you. And right. It frees me up to do a lot more, I don't know, higher level stuff. And I just like it more. Like I'm going on vacation next week. And for years, I didn't feel like I could take a vacation. Now I know I can take a vacation, totally unplug and just have a good time and not worry about the business. Like it's going to be okay. Cause I've got people that can, you know, do things. So it's nice.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I mean, that's like, we really experienced that a lot this past year where, and we've talked about it on the podcast where it was like, wow, we can finally leave and not have to worry about the whole place burning down.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I imagine it's pretty stressful for you. I know for me, it was always incredibly stressful because it wasn't my business that I was worried about. It was client businesses and like one big misstep, you know, I've had before where I've gone on, even with the team, I've had a situation where something went wrong while I was gone and I lost the client because of it. And, you know, it happens like, but it's just one of those things, at least, you know, even though that did happen, you know, with the team, this was like early days and I don't have to worry about anything like that now. Like it's one of those things like I can confidently go and I know everyone on my team knows what to do and it can make everything work. So that's a good feeling to be able to like walk away, know everybody's going to be taken. Your clients aren't going to get mad. You don't have to look at your emails. You don't have to look at whatever. And then you can come back and yeah, it's a little rough catching up right when you get back, but it's worth it being able to do that because, you know, I feel like the whole laptop lifestyle thing, like I feel like people are got their laptops out there in the sand more out of necessity than out of it being a cool thing. It's much cooler to just go chill on the beach and not have to work.
Yeah, I've never... This is kind of off topic, but I've never actually taken my laptop to a beach. I mean, what a horrible idea that would be.
What
if you get sand in the keyboard? Like that's So, but yeah, it's one of those things where I think having those people on your team, there's a big adjustment period. I remember for me, there was like, I just had to like, I don't even know if it was ego. Maybe it was ego. I just really thought that like a lot of the stuff I was doing was just way more, not important, but that I was like gifted at more things than what I really was, you know, like I was just like, you know, I do things a certain way and all this kind of thing. And like, you know, I just, all I had to do is like teach other people how to do it. And they did it better than me. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's what I was about to say is what you end up finding out is that generally people end up being better at those things than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's a good ego check, but it's awesome. And it's, I don't know, man, it's just, you kind of forget, I think when you're a solopreneur, like the people that you hire or the people that you can work with, like they have so much potential if you hire the right people and they can do like more and more things. Like that's what I've been noticing about the people that I've worked with. Cause I've had Mel for a year. I've had Rachel for 6 months. Aaron's been working with me on almost for a year and then bringing on this new person. Like there's more stuff that I can add. And there's like things I'm learning, things that they're really good at. And that's really cool. Like this past week, I've learned that Rachel was a QuickBooks Pro advisor. And like I kind of knew that, but I didn't super know that. Like she mentioned it when I hired her. And then like, I realized she's like, she could do all of my books like really well. Like I gave her a test to see like how good she was. And she was like, she knew more, way more than I did. And I was like, holy crap. Like I've had her with me for 6 months and I had no idea that I could even, you know, offload this task to her. So that, you know, it's, you find out things like that. And like, you know, Mel is, she's like a social media savant almost, like the meme stuff that she creates. Like she did some Drake meme for me the other day that went viral, like mini viral. Then it had like 1,000 likes on it and a ton of shares and stuff. And it's just like, I didn't know she could do that when I hired her, but you just find people's strengths and then you just try to hand them things that they can do that are like in their wheelhouse. And then they can do some stuff way better than you can. So,
yeah. And part of that, like part of this journey of like giving things to people, you find out what their strengths are over time and you are able to kind of like evolve their position and what they're going to do. But a big part of it is like when you're first starting out is kind of figuring out like what you should be handing off. So, you know, and this is really difficult, but I think it's in the early days, you have to look at every single thing that you do and figure out what are the high impact things that I need to be spending my time on? And then what are the other things that other people can be doing? And I think a big mistake that people make is that the question is not, can I do this better than the other person or can I do it faster? It's, should I be doing it at all? And that, and I don't want this to come across as sounding like really douchey. Like, I don't want this to come across wrong. Like, it's not about like, I'm too good for this task. I'm going to give it to somebody else. It's about, you should be working on business development, right? You should be working on your business. So the things that are about working in your business, all but the highest value things, someone else can be helping you with. And so a very good example of this, like in my business, is I've been running Facebook ads much longer than everyone on my team. Right? I can look at a Facebook ad and I can diagnose a problem very quickly. I can create them very quickly. You know, I can do everything related to Facebook ads faster than my team. But I've also trained them and they know what to do and they're very good at it. And so I have to be very careful to let them do the service delivery type stuff. And then what I need to do, and I don't always do a good job of this. I mean, honestly, like sometimes I get my hands in there. But what I should be working on is the strategic level stuff. What are we going to do? Right. And then let the team implement. Right. And then one of the things that I'm trying to work on is let the team diagnose problems and take actions a little bit more. Because one of the things I was doing, this is just part of the evolution for me, was I was diagnosing problems. Right? Like, hey, let me look at it. This is what's wrong. This is what needs to be changed. And now it's like, okay, they have enough knowledge. I need to let them do more of that. And so you need to figure out what are those things. And so it really just comes down to looking at everything you're doing and going, what are the things I need to be doing that maybe I haven't been doing? Right?
Right.
Maybe you need to be growing your traffic. Maybe you need to be growing your email list. Maybe you need to be working on client acquisition. And you need to do more of that. Even some of that stuff you could outsource, but maybe you need to be working on, like, I need to do these things to work on and grow my business, but I haven't had time. And so you go, if I need to work on those, that needs to go to my list. Now, what is on my list that I need to remove to make time for those things, right? And then just looking at the other things that you do and going, okay, what are these things that someone else can do? And so the Facebook ads one is a really good example because maybe I can create an ad faster than someone on my team, but who cares, right? Like who cares how long it takes them if they can do it, because now I can put that time to something else. So I think that's the starting point, is figuring out, identifying what things are for you and what things should you be getting off your plate.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, one of the, like there were all these little tasks that I was doing with my emails, like the email thing, it gets ridiculous sometimes because there's so, like the volume is a lot, you know, and it's hard to actually respond to as many people as there are. So when I handed off that task to Mel, that freed up, I don't even know how many hours per month. I mean, probably like 48 hours a month, like probably two full days I would spend in my email inbox. And she's also, you know, she monitors like the Facebook page, and that's, I got, God knows how many notifications I get on that. So it's like little things like that that were actually keeping me from doing the higher level things like networking with other people in my industry. Like when we first got together, I knew a bunch of people in my industry, but you had all these people that we could go to and like, they could help us with things. You know, or you'd be like, this person I know handles this thing. And this person I know, we can bring them on to do this thing. I didn't really have that, but this year I've been able to focus on like getting the bigger affiliates to work with us and like, you know, doing the things that are going to help grow the business really quickly because we're utilizing like really, really big audiences with these other people. That's something I couldn't have done a year ago. I don't think I would have had like the mental energy to try to do that kind of stuff. So that's been huge. And so it's me being able to focus on like just growing the business through like higher level relationships and like mastermind stuff and networking has been huge. And I would have not done that if I'd been buried in emails and notifications for the last year.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, I feel like we talk about things sometimes like a high level, like a theory-based level, but I always like for us to give like very actionable advice when we can. And so I think like this is one of those times where I feel like we can provide a strategy that you can use. And so one of the things that I would encourage you to do, whether you've hired somebody or not, like if you are wanting to kind of like start outsourcing, if you're going to want to bring on an assistant of some sort, one of the first things that you should do is you should get a big old stack of Post-it notes. I'm like looking around my desk here for Post-it notes to show the camera, even though y'all can't see.
Nobody can see.
I tend to do that. I'm like talking with my hands always and like demonstrating things like, and Bobby's the only one that gets
to see. I'm learning a ton.
So anyway, get a stack of Post-it notes, and for the next 2 weeks or so, or even just through the week, but I would say a week or two, get your Post-it notes. And every time you sit down to do something, write it down on a Post-it note, like every single task that you do, and then just keep stacking them, you know, to the side. I'm making noise so you can hear. Just write one, stick it on the desk. So you end up with this big stack of Post-it notes of everything that you do. And then what you need to do is you basically want to sit down one day and say, you have a do column, a delegate column, and a delete column, okay? Mm-hmm. And your goal here is to take those Post-it notes and categorize them. And you basically want to go, is this something that I can do or I have to do? Is this something that someone else can do? Is this something that I shouldn't be doing at all, right? Like that needs to be eliminated, right, from my life. Right. And then once you get done with that, you want to take those delegates and set them to the side, okay? And those are like your first tier delegates. And now you want to take that list of things that you said you were going to do and go back through it again and ask yourself the same question. Do I really need to be doing this? Can someone else do this? And like I said, it's not about, can I do it better or can someone do it as good? It is, can someone else do it, right? And then you need to split that up again. And now you have a second pile of delegate things. And when you do this, and you can just start repeating this every couple of weeks, it's going to give you a really clear idea of all of the tasks that you do, which ones you should be doing, and then like which ones somebody else should be doing. And then you can go in and start giving those things one at a time to whoever you bring on. And it's just a matter of one at a time. Like, hey, okay, cool. Here's how you do this thing. Now you go do it. And then you check their work. And then once they get it right, they do it from then on, right? Like that's how simple it is. But having that kind of Post-it note method is really going to help you figure it out in your brain. Yeah. At least for me, I'm like, I've talked about this. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but I've talked about this with our students in other communities. But like there's different learning types, and I'm a kinesthetic learner, which is one of the more rare ones. It has to do with action. And so like I learn very well doing things where I'm moving, and I'm like, so things like Post-it notes on a whiteboard, like moving stuff around, like that helps me process information. So
yeah, I'm the same way.
It'll help y'all. Okay.
Mine's like kinesthetic and visual. I had to do all this stuff when I was a teacher about like, you know, identifying that kind of stuff. But that's how it's like, I have to write stuff down. You know, I was thinking of like I didn't do your Post-it system to the T, but I did it like in my style, which is basically just like a half-assed version of what you said. And it worked really well. So I think people should definitely try that.
So what was your half-assed version?
I just wrote stuff down like on a notebook page or something instead of the actual sticky notes.
But did you do that like over time, or did you just do it in one sitting, like brain dump it?
I did it in one sitting because we talked about, it was when I was like trying to hire, I think it was when I was trying to hire Rachel. And it was like, you told me to do the post-it thing. And I was like, you know, shorthand version. Everything I do is usually like the shorthand version. So I was like, I'm just going to write it all down right now and like do it like that. But it, you know, yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
No, but that's good. I mean, it's one of those things. There's no one right way to do this. You know?
No. Yeah. Well, I should have done it your way. That would have been a smarter way. I just, like, in my like, you know, like semi disorganized way, but it worked, you know? And I think when I did it, I realized like how much stuff I was doing. Like, you don't realize how much you do, I think, as a solopreneur. Like, you know, I thought like, yeah, you know, I write blog posts and I do stuff on social media and that's my whole life. And it's like, really the list was a lot longer than that, of like all of these like repeatable tasks that I didn't really need to be doing. And it's just, once I realized that, I was like, oh crap, like I can have somebody else doing all this stuff for me and it'd be easier. And I think one of the, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's a big part of it. Like, repeatable tasks are often the things that you can delegate to somebody else.
Yeah. Like there's not a whole lot in my business that's like a repeatable task anymore other than writing. But like, you know, that's still, actually I enjoy like yesterday's emails that I wrote, like I really enjoyed that. Like that's the kind of stuff I don't want to give to somebody else, because that's like what I enjoy doing in my business. But I think one of the things that people are probably thinking if they are solopreneurs, like, you know, oh, it sounds great, you know, you guys are saying hire people, but you got to pay for that. And how, you know, what if I don't feel like I can afford a VA or some kind of help yet? What would you say to those people?
You know, I would just say then one of two things, like get yourself to where you can, like number one, but like you've got to think, like you've got to be investment minded as a business owner. And, you know, I think I remember when I was starting, and I know this, I just, when I coach people through starting to build their teams and that kind of stuff, they're leery to start. And what it is that they've built up a certain income and they want it all for themselves. And what they fail to realize is that if they step back and they give some of that income to a team member for within 6 months, maybe sooner, they're going to be making way more, because it's going to free up so much of their time. They're going to be able to do more of the money-making activities. And so your business is going to grow the minute you bring somebody on, because you're just going to get more done, right? And it's one of those things, like, think about it. You take a moment, like this is something I used to struggle with, is like I would be doing all my stuff before I would send stuff to the team. But no, if you start your day and you send stuff to the team, now the whole day or whatever hours they're working, they're doing work while you are. You've doubled your productivity. And so you have to make, it's the same with like advertising or anything. You have to make that investment, take a temporary step back to take a big step forward. And so even if like you don't have to go as big as we have, that's not for everybody, but like having one person can totally change everything, you know, and it can give you more time with the family, more flexibility, all of that, but it's going to allow you to make more money. And so it's, you know, it's a fear thing though. Like you've got to say, okay, cool, I'm going to make a sacrifice right now to pay somebody on the faith that it's going to result in, you know, whatever. And the reality is, like, if you're making money doing something online and you bring someone in, it's going to grow your business, like guaranteed, because it's just a matter of you're going to do the things that you're doing that are already working, but you're going to do either a higher volume or faster, which means more money. So you just kind of got to bite the bullet on that. And you know what? I've never heard anybody that's like, the comment from people is like, oh man, I should have done this sooner. Not, oh man, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I've always thought about it. I think one of the reasons that probably you and I have grown our businesses so quickly, because I just I was talking to somebody yesterday and I was telling them about the business and when I started and everything. And they were like, you know, it's pretty like incredible that you've gotten to this point in just like 3 years. And I was like, Yeah, I think you're right. And I take that for granted sometimes. But one of the things that I feel like I always did was I would look at, you know, when I was making $3,000 a month, you know, I could have put like $500 of that into savings, or invested $500 of that, or I could invest $500 of that into my business. And so I would put it in my business instead, because I was like, okay, do I think that I can beat 7 to 12% returns in the market? Like, do I believe in myself enough to beat that? And I always, the answer was always yes. Like, it was like, yes, I know I can beat that. And same thing now, like this year, just so people know, like my strategy, like I'm holding a lot of cash in the business so I can reinvest it back into the business rather than putting, you know, dumping a ton of money in the stock market, because I feel like I can exponentially grow the business, you know, and that's something you and I have talked about. Like, I feel like I can beat the market because I know that I can, you know, I can control my destiny a lot better. So that's just something I think when you're at the point, like if you are making like, you know, a couple $1,000 a month or like $5,000 a month, and you're like scared to do like, you know, let's say $500 to $1,000 a month, bring in like a VA in, and that might even be expensive depending on what you do. But like, that's something I think you're going to quickly realize that you're going to get a better return on investment through bringing a person in and making yourself more valuable and bringing more business in than like putting money in like a high interest savings account or you know, whatever, you know? So that, yeah. Or if you have to sacrifice a little bit, like if you, maybe you can't go out to eat as much, you know, in a couple of, you know, for 5 months, and like, you have to scrape by a little bit more than you're comfortable doing. But you, what you'll find is if you bring somebody on to help you, like by the time you get to the next year of your business, you're probably going to be like, you know, I don't want to say you're going to double your profit, but you're going to be way more profitable and you're going to be thankful that you did it.
You could double it, and you could way more than double it. Like, it's not, you know, who knows what the difference is going to be, but it is going to be a good investment. And so then, you know, I think just to kind of like wrap things up, I want to share like one more actionable thing. And if you do this differently, then please chime in with like how you do it. But I have a feeling that you do it the same way, because I, you know, kind of shared this with you and I think you use it. But when I am trying to offload a task to somebody, I'm trying to teach them, I've got a very simple system for doing it that I always recommend to people. And so if you know that you want someone on your team to do a particular thing, when that task comes up, you do it and you use a software called, you just go to loom.com and you record your screen. And so you do the entire task step by step with them watching your screen, and you explain why you're doing it at each step. We're going to click this button, here's why. We're going to do this, and here's why. You're going to do this, and here's why. And you record that video. You send that video to your team and you say, okay, I would like you to create a written checklist with like a Google document or something on how to do this task, and then send it back to me. Now, this step, you're doing two things. One, you're creating a resource document, like a training document. That way, when you hire more people down the road, you can just send them the video and the document, and they know exactly what to do. But you're also making sure that the person that you're delegating the task to understands the task, because they're going to send it back, and then you're going to work with them to perfect that checklist. So maybe they misunderstood something, or maybe questions come up. You're going to know for a fact that they understand the material because they're repeating the material back to you in written form. So once that's done and you're good with that task, you have that training document, you have that video. We store all of that in a training and resources section inside of Asana, which is our project management tool. And then the next time that task comes, you say, cool, go do it. I'll check your work. And, you know, so this is like very, like, you know, the first time my team ran a conversion campaign for Facebook ad, you know, to grow, build a list. I was like, here's how you do a conversion campaign. And I walked them through it, through the video, the same way that we teach our courses, honestly, like it's the same style. And then I gave that to them. They created the PDF document, and now I don't have to do those anymore. I just say, hey, we need a conversion, you know, campaign. Here's the copy, go. Right. And we kind of let them know the budget or whatever, all that kind of stuff. And so that's the process. Very simple. You record yourself doing it. You have them turn it into a checklist. You review the checklist. The next time that task comes up, they do it. And then from then on, you should never have to do that task again. And so you can do that with just about every single thing you do. And if you follow that process, you're going to have a very healthy system of basically working procedures or standard operating procedures or workflows or checklists or whatever it is that you want to call it. And your team's going to know exactly how to do things. And it's going to be consistent. That's really important. They're going to do it the same way every single time because you have a specific process. But that's a very easy way to do it. That is kind of, you know, opposed to what a lot of people out there teach, which is figure out what tasks you're going to outsource, create a procedure or checklist or everything, and then hire somebody and they use that to learn it. And that was what I tried to do early on when I was building my agency. And it set me back 6+ months. I didn't hire people because I was like trying to create these perfect documents. And then I was like, screw it. I'm just going to show them on video and then I'll have them create the documents for me and then it'll get done. And that worked really well. And it's what I've been doing ever since. And I think it's really simple. So, I mean, Bobby, I'm pretty sure you do the same thing, but I mean, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, cause that's exactly what I do. Perfect example, Rachel's going to be doing, she's going to be uploading some YouTube videos for me. And it was the same thing. I asked her, I was like, one, do you know how to do this? She said, yes. But then she was like, she knows now. She was like, but I'll create a workflow for it. And so she'll go through and she'll do a screenshot workflow and all that. And then we have a shared doc, or a shared folder, you know, that she drops it into. And so if I ever need to give that task to somebody else or whatever, or if I need to do it myself or whatever, like I've got it there and I didn't have to create that asset. So it works really well. It's an easy system. And once your team gets used to it, like they just kind of do it. You know, like they're used to it.
Yep. So do you have any like kind of closing thoughts on this?
Get a VA if you don't have one. seriously, even if you're not quite ready for one, like start thinking about it because I think one, they should do the notebook thing or they can do my half-assed version of the notepad thing or no sticky note. Sorry. Mm-hmm. They should do the sticky note thing or just write down what they do, see what they can offload and then see if they can make that see if you can make that investment into having somebody else do some of those things for you and you're going to grow your business really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just like, if you think that you don't have enough work that you can give them, you're wrong.
Yep.
Straight up. I've got one of my clients has been with me for ages and I'm like, dude, get an assistant. He's like, I don't have enough that I could give them. And like one day I was just like, okay, here you go. And I just like made this massive brain dump list. And I was like, here's like about a third of the things that person could do. And he was like, whoa. And you just don't think about it because the reality is like, you know, people are smart and everybody has talents. And so anything that you can do, someone else can do. And a lot of things they can do better than you. So it's just a matter of like seeing like just, you just try. And there's things I'll tell you too. There's been times where I've tried to give something to somebody on my team and I've realized, okay, that's not a good fit for that person. Or what's happened more than that is sometimes I've given something away and I've gone like, you know, I want that. I want to do that, you know? And that's okay too. Like sometimes there's just things that like you said, like you're not going to give away writing your emails, even though you could hire a copywriter because you like writing emails. Right. And that's, so you'll figure that out as you go through that process, but don't be afraid that you won't be able to have things like have work to give to an assistant because it's more than you realize. Like even if you're just starting out, there's stuff, but you know, you don't need it right when you're starting out. But when you start to feel that, like the minute you start to feel like you don't have time to do everything, that's when you should start thinking about bringing somebody on.
Agreed.
So that's it. We're done talking for the day. Really hope that a lot of you listen to this and feel inspired to kind of make that journey from solopreneur to the next level because it's had a huge impact on us. I know it'll have a huge impact on you. So if you've got any questions about this, please feel free to ask in the comments. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on Spotify now. And that's it. Tell your friends about the show. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.